The DMSG Healthcare Podcast Program is brought to you by the DMSG Platinum Sponsors, who do the brainstorming for the DMSG National Healthcare Innovation Think Tank, and they include Project Cure International Charity Medical Supplies and Equipment, University College, University of Denver, Healthcare Management and Health Informatics Master's Program, Metro State University Master's of Health Administration, and University of Colorado Denver Executive MBA in Health Administration. If you're interested in becoming a DMSG Healthcare Platinum Sponsor, contact us at denvermedicalstudygroup@gmail.com. Welcome to the DMSG Healthcare Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hadley, founder and CEO of the Denver Medical Study Group. I'm excited today to visit with Joy Havens, CPA, author, speaker, Christian, and leader, who recently retired from Horn CPA firm, one of the top 25 CPA firms, where he has led more than 2,000 team members to build the WISE firm, Horn's People First Culture. As an author, Joey's most recent book is titled Leading with Significance, How to Create a Magnetic People-First Culture. Joey, thank you for joining me today. Would you tell our listeners a little about yourself and your background?
Well, good morning, Chris. So excited to be with you, and I certainly appreciate this opportunity. You know, I was raised in rural Mississippi by some fine Christian parents. I went to school at Ole Miss, got an accounting degree, and moved to Houston, Texas. So that was a big change for me, going from rural Mississippi, a town of about 10,000, to several million people in Houston, Texas. So I went to work for one of the largest accounting firms out there, decided to move back to Mississippi, got hooked up with the Horn group at the time. It was called the Horn Group very early. And I moved into healthcare at that point. I actually did 20 years of consulting work with the healthcare industry. I actually co-authored three books in healthcare. And then I moved into another area of our firm that we had just started out. And then I became the managing partner of Horn. I was elected in 2011 and handed that over in 2021. This year, I became fully retired in January of this year. So that in a nutshell is Joey Havens, and I do have 8 outstanding grandkids.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are they all in Mississippi with you, or?
They are not. We have one in Louisiana. And the others are in Mississippi. Most of them are about 2 hours from us.
Well, that's good. I'm glad y'all get to enjoy them. You know, in the process of learning more about what you do professionally, you frequently refer to a people-first culture. What do you mean by people-first in an organization building a great culture?
Well, you know, I find it interesting that when you mention the word culture, people have different ideas about what that means. And so for me, and what I try to share with other leaders and organizations, is that culture is really the soul of your organization. It's who you really are. It's your behaviors, not just what you put up on the wall as a banner, but it's your behaviors and what people experience every day. And so if it's the soul of your organization, you know, what is your highest priority? In a people first culture, your highest priority is people. And when you're people first, what I mean by that is that leadership and the organization itself starts out from a position of trust. They're vulnerable and they trust their people. They trust their people to do the right thing. They trust their people to be innovative. And they demonstrate that they are aligned with the core values and the mission of the organization by their behaviors. Leaders live in a fishbowl, so they can say whatever they want to say, but we all stand around that fishbowl and see which way they swim and how they swim. And so our behaviors dictate whether people believe that they're in an organization where people first. So leaders have to demonstrate care. And, you know, for healthcare, just relating it to healthcare is something that I taught when I was in healthcare. If your people know you care, they'll care for the patients. They'll take that same attitude. They'll take that same trust, and they'll provide that to your patients. So that's what I mean by people first culture.
You know, and your most recent book, as I mentioned earlier, Leading with Significance, How to Create a Magnetic People First Culture. I thought that was a very interesting title. Would you tell our leaders a little bit about what you share in that book?
One of the things I share is a lot of mistakes and a lot of assumptions and beliefs. But the core message throughout that book is that every organization's journey is going to be unique. And you're going to do things a certain way. But that if you're going to truly have a people first culture, it has to start with every voice counting and leaders trusting people. And it'll be built on a sense of belonging. In other words, people have to have a sense of belonging that they are connecting to something and they're building something bigger than themselves. And so I share how important that is, ways to do that, how you can draft a compelling vision around that. Then something that's very key to today and something that we implemented at Horn very early, which allowed us to grow exponentially again during the pandemic even, is flexibility. And, you know, healthcare, this is a big issue because there's so many providers. You got to be hands-on in so many ways, although telemedicine is obviously now on the forefront of so many delivery of healthcare in rural areas and really everywhere. So it's just very important that people have influence on not only where they work, but how and when they work. And flexibility is going to be key for any organization. People have to have influence into that. You know, we had at Horn, we had roles and positions where people had to be at the client's office 365 days a year, other than the holidays and some weekends. And so when they sign up for that role, how do you do flexibility around that? How do you put some of those unique opportunities in there for those? Because flexibility, what makes it so hard is complex, is because it's unique to the individual. It's unique to the team they signed up for. It's unique to the role they signed up for. So it takes all of that and a lot of one-on-one conversations to get it right. It's just a journey with a lot of experience. And, you know, I guess the other thing that I hope to give leaders, you know, it takes faith to step out and say, you know, we're not going to worry about the numbers or the bottom line. We're going to put people first. And that's what we did at Horn. We told the entire organization, we're going to make culture our number one priority. If we get smaller first, that's fine. But we are going to be better. We're going to be a better organization. We're going to deliver better client service. And we're going to be an organization where people can achieve their dreams. And we never did get smaller. We only got larger. We started growing exponentially. And so that part of the story, I hope it gives people the faith to step out there, because it takes courage and it takes faith to step away from the legacy KPIs and control game.
Yeah, it really does. You know, as I listen to you, Joy, I think of a recent article that I read that hospital mergers seem to be stopping and looking at maybe culture transformation instead of merging with another organization. What are they talking about? Are they talking about what you just described?
Yes, I believe they are. And you know, I wrote a book about medical practice mergers, and we could have written another one about demergers, and we could have written one about selling to the hospital and then buying yourself back from the hospital. That's been a rodeo throughout healthcare. But, you know, one of the things in our journey is we did very, especially from 2011 forward, we did very few mergers or acquisitions. And in fact, anything that we did, it was mostly buying talent with very little revenue. So all of our growth was exponential organic growth, which is the most profitable growth. It's also deals the best with culture. Your culture gets stronger because you're not bringing in a new culture. Regardless if you think two cultures are similar, when you bring them together, you're going to find out very quickly there are some very different behaviors in each one, and probably both of them have some toxic leaders.
Yeah, I think that's some of what I've been hearing, and I thought, well, maybe that's why there's more of an effort starting to go to culture transformation. You know, I've heard the statement, our hospital system has a good culture, but there's something missing. Is it because the C-suite doesn't go out and walk the halls and see what's going on? What's missing?
Ooh. You know, it can be any and all things. Let me say this. You interviewed Dr. Brian Wong. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that anybody in healthcare, any leader in healthcare, needs to listen to that podcast, because he nailed it about culture. And the thing to understand about culture is that it never hits our aspirations. And the C-suite always sees it. This is who we want to be. This is who we say we are. It always falls to the level of behaviors that you tolerate. And it changes every day. Your culture never arrives. You just have the opportunity to make it better the next day and make it stronger. And when I think through that, and your original, what was your original question, Chris? I want to make sure I address it specifically.
Well, it's more of a question of why something's missing in our culture.
Okay. So what is missing? And it starts with embracing reality. In other words, I've interviewed thousands of professionals now in my different conferences and keynotes. 83 to 85% of them say they have good culture. It's the same thing if I ask you if you were a good parent. You're going to say yes. I mean, everybody wants to be a good parent. Same thing in healthcare. If you ask them, that same leader, do y'all provide good healthcare? Do good patient care? They're going to say yes. And the reason is because it's part of our identity. You know, we control some aspects of that. And we do, through rose-colored glasses, we see our culture as being good, being really strong. And I actually start the book off talking about Horn's culture. We were one of those firms that was promoted, hey, that's a great place to go work. We had all kind of street creds. But when we looked under the hood, we found out that we had a lot of things in our good culture that stunk really bad. And we had some toxic leadership. And so it starts with good culture is not good enough. And that's especially true in healthcare, where you have so much change going on. It's going to take a strong culture, one where people feel resilience and they're not in it alone, that they're in it together. It's going to take that to succeed in the future. It's going to be your most powerful tool in meeting the challenges of transforming healthcare and a transforming world, by the way. And so that's a big part of it, is that we don't embrace the reality of where we really are. We don't have the confidential feedback loops that tell us what the different experiences are. When we tested our experiences, we found out they were very different for underrepresented group. They were very different for women. They were very different depending on what office you worked in. They were very different depending on who you worked for. And that's true in every organization. So those are the kind of things that I think people say, hey, we have a good culture. That's not the problem. They want to work on strategy. The one thing I would tell you today, which, you know, I'm trying to remember, Peter, who is it they give credit for saying culture will eat your strategy for breakfast?
Oh, I don't know.
well, the truth is today, culture not only eats your breakfast, it eats your entire future. Because if you have an organization with a toxic culture, you're not going to survive.
As I listen to that, I think about how when I interview our guests, you get the impression that you've always been this good, that as you are now, you've always been this knowledgeable. But I played in a lot of sports, and I had a lot of learning that I had to go through to get to where I was. And when people say, oh, you're great, and I think, well, you should have followed my trail for the last 30 years. You know, what you've made some comment and you've addressed some of these things, but you talk about insights and failures and low points and lessons learned and growth. What can you share about how you get to where you are with culture, with people first culture, by the mistakes you've made? What have you learned that you can maybe save me or others from making the same mistakes?
Well, again, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I peeled back the onion and shared a lot of my mistakes. And, you know, one of them is, and this is for every team member, and especially as you become a team leader or move up in your organization, is how far our voice carries, how many people it touches, how important it is that we remain in control of our attitude. And then when we were working on flexibility, and in our profession, the timesheet and tracking time has always driven the revenue model. And we moved away from that. And as we were working on flexibility, we said, all right, we're going to provide this fearless, unrivaled flexibility, but we are going to ask people to put down on their timesheet when they're flexing. And we rolled all that out, and the feedback came back immediately, which is a good thing, is there was enough trust in the system and in the confidential feedback loops that people shared what they didn't like. And they shared that this had a big brother kind of look at flexibility. Do you trust us or not trust us? Why do we have to put down on timesheet when we're flexing? So Joey had to pick himself up off the floor. I called a firm-wide meeting, a teleconference, with every person in the firm and apologized. And we did away with that big brother timekeeping. So that's one of the more embarrassing moments for me. But there's plenty, plenty more throughout the book and throughout my career. And I got to say, you know, early on, I came up through sports, very competitive. I was very competitive early in my career. And even though I found some success, you know, people found me hard to work with. Not everybody wanted to be on my team. It took a personal coach holding up a mirror for me to see that I was too driven and not really looking to how to elevate my team. And now I teach leaders all the time. You know, when you get in this position, you got here a lot of times by collecting stars and badges, but your job now is to give stars and badges away and become a better leader and a greater leader by the more stars you give away.
That's very impressive. I watch leaders in healthcare, and I don't often see very many stars given away. But I've been following one particular leader that just took over the role of CEO of a rural hospital system in another state. And he shares on LinkedIn the dynamics that go on with his people. And I see him give away stars almost on a daily basis. And I go, wow, that's impressive. It sounds like the sense of belonging to an organization is important for team members. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. It's critical. It's ground floor.
I was just thinking about that as you were sharing a few minutes ago. Joey, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today before we close?
I think about healthcare, and I think about, you know, the challenges in front of us, everything from reimbursement to changing the delivery of care to all the innovation and the AI that's going to help in that. I would just encourage leaders to trust in their people and demonstrate that trust by being vulnerable and be very intentional. And every book I've signed, I put these two words, be intentional. Be intentional to demonstrate that you do care. Be intentional that you live out the core values yourself, and be intentional to listen to every voice, that every voice counts.
Joey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your experiences on People First Cultures. And I wish you best on your book selling, that that goes well for you. I think it just came out the first of the year, didn't it?
It came out in June of last year.
June, okay.
I appreciate you mentioning that. And obviously you can get it at any of the major online stores as well as some of the bookstores. But Chris, I want to thank DMSG and you for having me on. And again, it just lights my heart up. I put 20 years into helping healthcare providers find a way forward. And so this has been really a great reunion for me.
Good, good. Thank you. Appreciate it, Joey. Best to you.
Best to you. Best wishes.
Thank you.